Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure you do look at all the announcements at the back of the bulletin. Pretty soon we'll be starting up with a lot of the fall activities, and we're starting to put some of those announcements in the bulletin. So check up with it every time, and so that you can be involved with the events that are going on. Does anyone have announcements this morning? Any announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Sanctuary. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy is the Lord, the Almighty. He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. By his blood he purchased for God. He will bear Christ made of them a kingdom, and they shall reign on earth forever. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, your ears are open always to the prayers of your servants. Open our hearts and minds to you, that we may live in harmony with your will and receive the gifts of your Spirit. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes, suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The second lesson is a reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with the growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
To St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, "Lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I'm wondering if we were going to have anybody here today. We had so many here this week for Bible school, and it was a nice, big, long week. Come on up, and I've got some questions for you today. Okay? Y'all doing okay? Recovering from Bible school? Yep. Okay. All right. But prayer is important, and it takes both of us. It's important that we know that he's always there, and it's important that we can take anything to him. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the rain yesterday, and we also ask that we might have some more today. What we're most thankful, dear Lord, is for you being there for us, knowing that we can ask anything of you anytime, any day, and you are always open for us to listen, to help us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. And I hope you get your box. Okay? Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of the important people in the Bible that we read about had a strong prayer life with God. I mean, you think about some of those. Adam and Eve at the beginning, I mean, they had conversations with God just as if we would see each other anywhere. And or you think about Moses then too, of seeing God there in the burning bush and that whole conversation they had. Also too, here today we read that story of Abraham, of the conversation that he had with God, that God told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham knew that he had relatives in those cities, and so he was concerned for them, and so he asked God, "Well, even if there's 50 people in the city, you're going to destroy those 50 people along with everybody else?" And God says, "Well, for the sake of 50 people, I will spare the city." And that whole conversation that Abraham and God have back and forth with each other, the audacity of Abraham, that boldness that Abraham has in that conversation of saying, "God, you're going to do this? So what if there's 5 less? What if there's 10 less?" And he gets it all the way down to 10 people. The audacity or that boldness that Abraham has in his prayer life. In our gospel lesson today, we hear of the prayer life of John the Baptist. John the Baptist also had a very strong prayer life. That's how he was in communication with God. That's what gave John the Baptist the strength. That's what gave him the determination. That's what gave him the boldness to do what he did. And John also taught his disciples, because like Jesus, he also had disciples. And he taught his disciples to pray. And then Jesus' disciples saw Jesus praying, of how important prayer was in the life of Jesus. That Jesus would go off sometimes by himself, or sometimes he would be there to pray with the disciples, or I'm sure every time that they ate together, Jesus would say a blessing over the meal. And so they asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Pray, Prayer is so important in the life of a Christian because prayer keeps us connected to God. You know, if you want to have any kind of relationship, you have to stay in conversation. Think about the friends that you have had in the past, and you no longer have those friends. They're still living, but you've kind of lost touch with them. You know, either you've moved away from where you knew them, or maybe they've moved away. Think about college friends in college that you have, but yet right now you don't keep in touch with. You have no idea what they're doing, or you have very little idea. You don't see them, you don't talk to them. That friendship starts to fade away. You're not necessarily mad at them. You're not angry with each other. And if you see each other again, just happen to run into each other, yeah, you might strike up a conversation. But there's no intention to keep up the friendship. You have no ideas what they're doing, what their families are doing, or you're not involved in their life anymore. And so those friendships just kind of fade away. With God, it's true as well then too. If we do not keep up our conversations with God, our relationship with God just kind of starts to fade away. So why do we pray? We pray in order to keep the relationships together. But we also pray simply because God commanded it. God says, pray to me, talk to me, be in conversation with me. God calls us to pray, be in relationship. And it's not one of those demanding things, thou shalt do this. Rather, it's more for our benefit. It's like a mother would tell her child on a very cold day, all right, you need to dress warm today. Make sure you have good socks on and put your boots on and a heavy coat because it's cold outside. The mother is commanding the child to put on good clothes. But it's not just to be mean or not to be controlling. It is so the child will stay warm. That's why God commands us to pray, so that we stay in relationship with God. Relationships are so important. It's relationships in our own lives to stay connected with people. And I know those people that you want to stay connected with, you usually do with your family members. You may give them a call on the phone, or you may text them, email them, get on social media. I know some of you gather together maybe on a regular basis to drink coffee somewhere, or just to visit, or to play some dominoes or play some cards on a regular basis. Just so you can connect with your friends. We need that interaction so much with each other. We come to worship. We gather to worship because we need those connections as well, too. And so we need those connections with God. We need to be in conversation with God. I know sometimes you have relationships and it doesn't always go smoothly. Sometimes you do get angry with one another. So what do? You give them the silent treatment. I'm not going to speak to you. I don't want to talk to you. And when you do that, you're saying, I don't want you to exist in my life right now. I don't want to see you right now. Our relationship right now is rocky. When you give somebody the silent treatment, how well does that work? Does that restore your relationship? No, it makes it worse. A lot of times the other person gets angry and they says, well, if they're not going to talk to me, I'm not going to talk to them either. Nothing gets fixed. Sometimes we get angry with God, and so we try to give God the silent treatment. God, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to come to worship. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to give you the silent treatment. And we have nothing to do with God. That's not going to work out very well either. What I say is, if you are angry with God, tell God. It's okay to be angry with God. It's okay to scream or shout at God. God, why are you doing this? God, why'd you let this happen? But you are still in conversation with God. And as you're speaking with God, maybe it'll hit you. As you hear yourself talk, maybe it will hit you that God's not at fault with this, but I am. Or maybe it's just the whole question of, I just don't understand. God didn't do that to hurt me, but I just don't understand why those things happened. It's okay to be angry with God. God will work through it. God is big enough to be able to handle that. But even when you are angry at somebody, you're still in a relationship. It may not be a real good relationship at that point, but if you are still in relationship and you want to be in good relationship, it will happen. It will happen when the other person also wants to be in that good relationship. God always wants to be in a good relationship with us. And when we cut God out, when we give God the silent treatment, we are actually cutting off life, because God is life. When we say, God, I don't want anything more to do with you, we're basically saying, I don't want anything more to do with life. God created life. He sustains life now. He gives us whatever we need in life so that we can survive. And he brings us new life in Jesus Christ. And so when we no longer are in conversation with God, when that relationship starts to dwindle, our life also starts to dwindle. We no longer seem to have the support. We don't have that underlying support, that strength, that confidence to carry on with life. I'm always amazed at Abraham or Moses or John the Baptist or Jesus, at how they could pray with that boldness and just empty their hearts, such a close relationship with God, to be able to release that, whether it was pain or anger or trepidation or God, I don't want to do that. Find somebody else to cover for me, as some of the prophets had said when God called them. But God does call us. He calls us to be in prayer with him. He wants to hear what's going on in our life, the joys, the sorrows, even the anger, the hurt, the pain, are the confessions. God is always with us in our lives. Listen to us, because he wants to be in good relationship with us. God wants to hear what we have to say. Let us pray to him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Praise and Thanksgiving. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray to God our Father in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, making intercession for the church, the world, and for all people according to their need. Dear Father, draw the people of this congregation into a life of prayer with you. Help us to ask for your mercy, to seek your guidance, and to knock at the door of your heart. Give us the courage and love to invite family, friends, and neighbors into a closer walk with you, Lord, in your mercy. Deliver your persecuted servants from evil. Help them to pray for their enemies. Help us to pray for them and with them. And guide and strengthen all missionaries. Help them find and use ways to introduce unbelievers to your dear Son until all hearts are tuned to your praise. Lord, in your mercy. Keep this country in your care. Guide our leaders in paths of righteousness. Help us to preserve and extend the blessings of liberty and justice for all. Give health and safety to all people and establish your kingdom among us. Lord, in your mercy. Hear the prayers of those who ask for healing, who seek for comfort, and who knock on doors that they fear are shut. Today, we remember before you Joe Barnes, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, Nick Picard and his donor, Elaine Molina, Alita Patillo, Michael and Dorothy Zinnist, Linda Metting, Janet Lemke, Clinton Kaiser, and Rosalind Patansky. Lord, in your mercy. Father, keep in your care all who died clinging to your promises. Comfort those who mourn. Bring us into the kingdom that you have prepared for all whom you have redeemed through the merits of your dear Son, so that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we may praise, adore, and bless you forever. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do. Share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the benediction to the tune of Edelweiss.
Peace, prayer.
closing hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine. As you go forth into the world to serve others with God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Peace.